Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
All right, let's talk Byron Murphy, newest Seattle Seahawk, with Chip Brown, a Longhorns insider for Horns 24/7. That's horns247.com. Joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Chip, how's it going?
Oh, it's going good. I mean, I'm not doing as well as Byron Murphy right now, but I'm doing okay.
You know, he said he had like 200 to 300 people at his draft party. Does that check out? Is he pretty social guy?
I didn't think he was that social, but looking at the chain he had around his neck, yeah. I think 200 to 300 people just wanted to come see that thing.
Chip, it took a while for a defensive player to get taken off the board. It started with pick number 15 with Latu, and then Byron Murphy followed. Did you feel like he was going to go this high? Did what was the scouting report on your man Byron Murphy?
Yeah, I think that was about the range. Whenever you have a crazy number of quarterbacks like we did this year, you have position groups slide. But Byron Murphy was a guy I thought could go anywhere between 10 and 20. And, you know, I call him a Aaron Donald starter kit because, you know, their measurables are about the same. They're both, you know, undersized, don't have the crazy arm length that you see with, you know, some of the other defensive tackles, but the motor, the relentlessness, the dog, you know, I mean, he's just a guy who I think he's going to be a 10-year Pro Bowl type player.
Before heading into this class, did you see him as, you know, a top 15 pick? Because I'd seen mocks with him in around the 20s. And then we hear from John Schneider afterwards saying he was our best defensive player available, which to me feels like what you'd say about a top 10 guy.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are just so important. I mean, you have to have interior defensive linemen if you want to stop the run in the NFL. And Byron Murphy's a guy who, you know, does his homework. He plays with such great leverage. He's super strong. And he just doesn't think anyone can block him. And he plays that way. And I don't think he's a guy who's going to, you know, get carried away with the money and get distracted. I think he's a guy who wants to be one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL and will work in that direction. And, you know, he'll raise the level of the guys around him. I mean, he was unblockable from the time he got to Texas, but he was behind Keandre Coburn and Moro Ojimo, who were, you know, both selected in last year's draft. Coburn by the Chiefs, Ojimo by the Eagles. But he's a better player than both of those guys, and it was obvious when he lined up with Tavondre Sweat, and they were the number 3 run defense in all of college football and helped Texas go 12-2 and, you know, win the Big 12 and get to, you know, their first college football playoff. And you look at Texas now, they're, you know, how do you replace those guys? I mean, they were the 2 highest rated interior defensive linemen in FBS last year, according to Pro Football Focus. Byron Murphy, by far the better pass rusher of the two. Tavondre Sweat, the better run defender. But, you know, Murphy just gets in the way of everything. He just messes up everything inside, and he can provide that pass rush right up the middle with its, you know, that's the most dreaded thing for a quarterback. So I'm really excited to see his career unfold. You know, I think the Seahawks have been pretty happy with some of the Longhorns they've had, you know, up there recently, from Michael Dixon to Puna Ford. So I think Byron Murphy will, you know, Quandre Diggs. I think Byron Murphy will be another hit for the Seahawks.
We've watched a lot of film on Murphy, and I love the way he plays. But tell me about his personality. What type of guy are we getting here in Seattle?
Yeah, he's a man of few words. You know, I mean, he's just that dog. And but he's all about business. I mean, he's a good teammate, but he's going to expect everyone around him to, you know, play at a high level. He's that guy. He's the guy who's going to look you in the eye if you, you know, blow an assignment and you're going to feel bad about it. And, you know, he's, I don't want to say the bad cop type of leader, but he's going to hold everyone accountable. And you got to have those guys. He reminds me of Casey Hampton, who I think should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You know, was taken 19th by the Steelers in 2001, helped lead them to 2 Super Bowl victories, and was just a junkyard dog. And if you weren't pulling your weight, he was going to let you know that you can do more, you can give more. And that's how Byron Murphy is. You know, T'Vondre Sweat was kind of the funny guy, the big funny guy. And Murphy was the silent assassin.
Where did you personally think he could go? Were there any teams that you'd kind of been tracking as potential landing spots?
Well, you know, it gets cloudy because of the quarterback situation, but, you know, any team that needed defensive line help wanted Byron Murphy. So, you know, that's why I said I thought he could go anywhere from 10 to 20, just depending on need. You know, I know the Houston Texans wanted him. The Cowboys would have taken him. I mean, I think there were a lot of teams hoping that he would slide. But, you know, I think he's going to be a 10-year stud.
When you look at Mike McDonald's defense, you know, we always compare what he did in Baltimore and try to foresee it here in Seattle. When you insert Murphy into that defense, what do you see?
He's disruptive. You know, I mean, he's gonna find a way. He gets up. His explosion off the ball is what everyone is gonna be like, wow. Because he just gets into his gap so quickly. He splits double teams. He plays with great leverage. He's, you know, he's 6 feet and, what, 6 feet and a half inch. And his legs are built like fire hydrants. So, you know, if he knows it's a passing down, he's going to make life hell for the guard that he's on the outside shoulder of. He can play the nose as well. So, you know, he's just going to penetrate. You know, that's what he does. He gets into gaps. He stuffs the run on the way to the passer. And that's just hard to find. It's hard to find a guy who's going to do that play in and play out. And he's in great shape. I mean, when you see, go look at his Instagram. He looks like Aaron Donald. I mean, he's ripped. And, you know, for a guy who's foot and a half, right at 300 pounds, that's hard to find. Obviously, T'Vondre Sweat at 366 pounds, you know, his stock is going to fall because he's 366 pounds. Byron Murphy is a ripped 300-pound man who's, you know, going to come off the ball, and good luck to the, you know, to the offensive lineman across from him.
Were there any question marks around him coming out? I mean, you can say it about any prospect. We're so excited to have him here in Seattle, and I mostly want to talk about just great things. But what were some of the things that, you know, people were wondering about him coming out?
I think he's all business. There was never a question about him in his time at Texas. And, you know, he went into this year, the 2023 season, as a contract year. Like, forget the fact that he was a first-year starter. He knew he was draft eligible, and he played like that. And, you know, he led Texas. He had 45 quarterback pressures. I think Pro Football Focus credited him with 6 sacks. And again, just lights out in stopping the run. And that's where, you know, you look at him, and I think, you know, the knock on him was the measurables, because he's not 6'4". He's not 6'4". You know, he's 6 feet. He's 6 feet and a half. But you know, I think, and he's more explosive than a guy like Puna Ford for Seahawks fans. And Puna was a guy you could not move. So you get, now you get the pass rush with Byron Murphy because he's so good with his hands. You know, he times his hands and his footwork together, get that punch to get guys' hands off of him. And he's got a arsenal of ways to do it. You know, he'll rip, he'll push, pull, he'll, you know, he'll bowl. He has a bunch of different technique that is going to make it hard for offensive linemen. He's not a one trick pony.
I don't know how much you know about the Seahawks, but there's Leonard Williams over here. Obviously, you have Byron Murphy now. You got Jay Reid. On the outside, there's some growth with Boye Mafe at the edge, DT. When you look at this box that the Seahawks have right now, how much better do you think they are with a guy like Murphy? Last year, I mean, they struggled stopping the run, and it sounds like that's what Murphy is here to do. How much better do you think this group is?
Yeah, I mean, I think – you know, Byron Murphy's going to do his job every play. Like, you're just never going to have to worry about him. He's not going to be the weak point. He's not going to, like, even as a rookie, I expect him to come in. He's not, the stage is never too big for him. And he believes he's the baddest man on the field. And he'll play like that. So, you know, sure, there's probably some more technique or just the fact that you're going to be playing guys in your division. The veterans can point out to him, hey, this guy likes to do this, or he's going to set this way. Murphy will take that and just go. And so, you know, I'll be stunned. Like, there are very few players. Aaron Donald was my favorite player in that draft. And Byron Murphy and Rome Odunze are my two favorite players in this draft. And, you know, Murphy's just a guy who's going to go get it done. And I think, you know, Seahawks fans are going to look up and say, oh man, that was a great pick because this guy's a Pro Bowl player.
Hey, I wanted to talk about another player, tight end out there, Jatavion Sanders. This is another position where the Seahawks have a need. It would be rare to take two players of the same class from the same school, but curious to hear a bit more about Sanders.
Yeah, Sanders is just an unbelievable athlete. You know, he was an edge rusher, a five-star edge rusher who had played some receiver, but he really obviously wanted to play tight end. I think a lot of Texas fans were like, oh, you know, you're such a good edge rusher. But then he turned into, you know, first team All Big 12 tight end. He's a basketball player on the football field who, you know, is 6'4". He plays bigger than that. He can go up and get it. He's not a great blocker. I mean, that is, you'll see that on film. In fact, the play where Quinn Ewers got hurt last year in the Houston game was a sack given up by Jatavion Sanders. So he's got a ways to go in terms of being a complete tight end, but in terms of being a down the field receiver, like a, you know, kind of a, I'm not going to put him in an elite tight end category yet, because I think he's going to have to grow into it. He's much more of an unfinished product than a guy like Byron Murphy, but he's electric. I mean, and he shows up in big games. And, you know, I think he had 100 yards receiving against Alabama. And, but, you know, down, he's a total plus player as a downfield, you know, pass catching tight end. Needs work in the blocking. You know, part of that job.
Yeah, not uncommon for a tight end, especially a rookie when you think about it. He is Chip Brown. Go study up on Byron Murphy, newest Seahawk, at horns247.com. Chip's got a lot of work there. Thank you so much, Chip. We appreciate your time, man.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Anytime.
Let's get to four down territory. This is Four Down Territory, going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, Bump, what's something the NFL is allowing but will cause a whole lot of trash talk on the field?
Man, let me tell you something about an NFL locker room. It's very judgmental. They will make
so
fun of you. They will talk a lot of trash. I remember one time I went out with some fellow Seahawks, and I had like a vest on, and they clowned my vest. They were clowning, but my wifey gave it to me, so I wore my vest anyway. This is something that dudes are going to get clowned on if they hit the field with that. The Guardian helmets. Have you seen these offensive linemen, typically guys in a box, with these big old fluffy things on top of their helmet,
yes,
which makes them look like a bobblehead? The NFL...
Like Marvin the Martian.
Yes, like Marvin the Martian. The NFL is allowing these guys or these players to wear that during the game. Stacey Joe Ross.
Yes.
The first player to run out that tunnel with that thing on his head is going to get clowned. The messed up part is it's safer. Safety first.
Yeah.
But boys are immature. Men are immature. They are going to clown whoever runs out that tunnel with that thing on his helmet. And whoever does it, you are a brave soul. It's like the first time I saw somebody at Washington State wearing a Revolution helmet. I go, what the heck are you doing? But then that person went on and rushed for 2,000 yards and went to the NFL. And I said, you know what? Do your thing, Jerome. Do your thing. But yeah, this is going to be interesting. I wonder who's going to be the first one to have the courage to run out the tunnel with that thing on his head.
You know what I want to know? Is there somewhere going to be, this is a scenario I'm foreseeing, a defensive lineman suffers a concussion in the future of this upcoming season's NFL. That defensive lineman suffers a concussion. He is encouraged by the medical staff to wear this helmet when he makes his return, just to be safe. No problem, he says. Of course, I'm a team player. I'll do what you guys want. He shows up to the field. Opposing passer drops back. This defensive lineman reaches up his hand, and the ball thrown from the opposing passer just barely is tipped by the very tippy top of this helmet. And people realize, wait a minute. Does adding an extra inch or so to your helmet suddenly become an unfair advantage for opposing passers that might have a ball tipped? We have a controversy in week 8.
I thought you didn't like conspiracy theories and stuff like that.
I'm just
that.
Saying, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. There is going to be a ball tipped because a defensive lineman is wearing this helmet, and it's going to be an entire conversation about whether or not these helmets should be allowed.
This is who's going to wear it. I think the first position to run out the tunnel
It'll
with this on
receiver.
Is going to be a center.
A center?
It's going to be a center.
It's going to be a wide receiver.
Never.
I think that you
there
guys...
There will be no receiver to ever, on their own, wear this in a game.
I think he'll be told he should wear it.
Told is different.
Yeah.
Now, you choose... They gonna
clown
you, dog.
Centers can be kind of weird.
Exactly.
Centers are the tight ends of the offensive line.
Yeah.
I know are already kind of maybe they're brethren to the offensive line, mm-hmm. but that's the best way I
it's
can describe
cousin.
It. Yeah. They're cousins.
Yeah.
First cousins.
First
not
cousin.
Even second cousins.
Uh-huh.
They're first cousins.
It's your mama's sister.
Yeah. Second down. Which quarterback was drafted into the best situation?
I said your mama's sister. Your mama's sister's kids. There you go.
Your mama's sister's kids.
Your mama's sister's
it's
kids.
Not your second cousin. It's your first cousin. No times removed.
So we did this earlier today, and people were like, "Bum, man, it's got to be Caleb. You got DeAndre Swift at running back, DJ Moore at receiver, Keenan Allen at receiver. You drafted Roma Dunze. I'm looking at the options over there, and I'm going, man. They get to go.
Mm-hmm.
But you tell me the last time a quarterback in Chicago has thrown for over 4,000 yards.
Never happened.
You tell me the last time a quarterback in Chicago has thrown for over 30 touchdowns.
Never
it's
happened.
Never happened. There's something about Chicago. So I'm looking at this situation. I go, yes, on paper, they look good. But you know what I like to do with quarterbacks? Let them marinate.
I was going to say talk trash.
Unless we're talking about Drake.
Yeah.
Let them marinate. Let them sit for a little bit. So I'm looking at J.J. McCarthy, and I'm going, man, you're in a good situation. Then someone goes, why? He's going to sit and learn from Sam Darnold? What is he going to learn? You think Sam Darnold's just incompetent? He can't read a defense? He don't know how to be a pro? Mm-hmm. He might not be a pro bowler. He might not be able to take your team to the promised land, but he's in this league for a reason. Whether
yeah.
he's learning what to do or what not to do, he's still going to be learning. And also, you got Aaron Jones at running back over there. You got Justin Jefferson at receiver. You got Jordan Addison at receiver. You got TJ Hawkinson at tight end when it's time to go. And you got Kevin O'Connell calling the plays for you. When it's time to go, I think JJ is in a better situation. I don't even think JJ is the most talented quarterback. Of course not. Mm-hmm. It's Caleb. It's Jaden Daniels. It's Bo Nix. It's Michael Penix to me. But you look at just how he can develop, I think he's in a good situation. I'm going with JJ in Minnesota.
I think that is one of the most commonly misunderstood things about football is that someone who can't do it can't teach it. I'm not saying Sam Darnold is brilliant, but like, how many Super Bowl winning quarterbacks are currently offensive coordinators in the NFL or head coaches in the NFL? Or I mean, there are Super Bowl winning players who have been part of Super Bowl winning teams who are on coaching staffs, obviously, and who have been head coaches and who have been coordinators. But I think we underestimate how much someone who has failed as a player might know about the game.
Yeah, I'm a way better coach than I was a player. Way better.
Yeah.
I mean, you just, it's different, man. The greats. That's why Magic can coach my Lakers.
That's what I'm saying. Sometimes people can't. Sometimes,
can't do it.
Sometimes the greats can't translate things for players because it's like, I don't know how to tell you that this made sense to me and that I would see this and know to do this and that I could run this fast and you can't. Like,
got to dumb it down.
Yeah. Third down. Yes, that's where I am. What draft pick made sense but was still a surprise to you?
Yeah, I'm going to Los Angeles, but I'm talking about the Chargers. I really thought these guys were going to go ahead and get Justin Herbert a weapon. You, Keenan Allen is with the Bears. Mike Williams is with the Steelers, I want to say. Steelers or Dolphins?
No, Steelers because he got for Russell Wilson.
Steelers or Dolphins, I think. I'm not sure, but he gone. Either way, he gone. So I figured, look, the Chargers are going to go ahead. Oh, and Austin Eckler's gone. But they did get J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards in the backfield. Good for them. But I'm looking at Quentin Johnson, the receiver out of TCU, going into a second or third year, I believe. I think it's second year. He needs some help. When he has been the focal point of this offense, there have been times, he's done some good things. But I'm looking at Darius Davis, who you guys probably don't know. Joshua Palmer, who's still there. Some guys might know. I believe he's out of Clemson back in the day. He needs some help. So I thought Tennessee, Joshua Palmer's from, I thought they would go and get themselves a wide receiver. Instead, they go and get the best offensive lineman in this draft. I'm not mad at that. It makes complete sense. You protect your quarterback, protect your assets. But I thought that they would go ahead and get some weapons on offense. Maybe this just tells you or shows you again how deep this wide receiver class is when it comes to talent. So, yeah, made sense, but it surprised me a bit.
Fourth down. Look at our well-connected Michael Bumpus. You were not only at the VMAC, but quite literally ran into Mike McDonald and was adding dirty.
Dirty, yeah.
After the draft last night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking one-on-one.
Ran into Snyder, too.
Ran into them in the hallway. What was the vibe?
They felt accomplished. It was like mission accomplished. Not that fake mission accomplished like
like George Bush when he came back on the ship and it said
mission accomplished. Like, why are we still over there then? Why are we still there? Anyway, not a fake mission accomplished. It was real. They were like, look, we got our guy. They didn't say that to me, but the look in their eyes were like, what's up, Bubba? I'm going, congratulations. You know, you got through your first draft, man. I was happy for Mike McDonald. It seems like they're going in the right direction. It just felt like they were satisfied, and that made me feel good. You got your guy, number 16. Good for them. Let's see what they do today.
You are listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Here's what you still got coming your way. We are going to be on an extra hour here. So beginning at 3 p.m., Bump has got a jet. Instead, we're going to bring on Brady Henderson, who we had on yesterday. He covers the Seahawks for ESPN. He is live from Seahawks headquarters ahead of day two, so we're going to get some reaction to him. He was one of the reporters interviewing Byron Murphy. Some reaction to him from night one, some predictions for day two, some scenarios that, you know, certain players Seattle could be looking at, maybe a scenario where they trade up, all kinds of questions. That begins at 2 p.m. today. We're still doing What I Need to Know at 145. Get your questions in, 866-979-3776. Hype Train coming your way next.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
All right, Brady Henderson joining us in 30 minutes. Bump is going to jet, but Brady's going to be in to talk about the first round of the NFL draft and help us look ahead to days two and day three. What I Need to Know coming up at 45 after. Get your questions in, 866-979-3776. Right now, we're heading to the station for Hype Train. Let's go. We have been talking a lot about Michael Penix Jr., Washington's quarterback, shocking the NFL world and going at number 8 to the Atlanta Falcons, who in free agency spent a pretty penny bringing in Kirk Cousins. This is the Hype Train. We're all wrong. The Falcons are playing 4D chess. Taking Michael Penix was the right move.
The right move for the future, not the right move for right now. Are you planning for a couple years from now, a year from now, or are you trying to get your team better defensively, which I think you and I think that's what they should have done. But you know what? You know, I don't pay their bills. You do what you want to do. And I understand why you would do that. You're looking at Kirk Cousins and saying, is he going to be healthy? Can we rely on him to win some ball games? Don't matter. You gave him $100 million guaranteed. So this is it's expensive because you're going to burn some years on that Michael Penix rookie contract. I would prefer just burning one. But no, I'm not on the train. It wasn't the right move.
Yeah.
But for now, it was the right move for later.
I think that's fair. It's an interesting move. And the spirit of this hype train is that it's the right move for now, that like they did the right thing.
Yeah.
We're all wrong. The Falcons are playing 4D chess. Taking Michael Penix Jr. was the right move. Bump says maybe for the future, but not right now. He can't board this train. Curtis, are you?
I don't see how this was the right move. I mean, you were a quarterback away from being a threat in the NFC South. You got that quarterback in Kirk Cousins. I mean, maybe the quarterback class next year is significantly worse than this year's, but also Penix becomes a year older. It's still confusing 24 hours later. I don't understand the move. If Penix had landed in Atlanta without Kirk Cousins being there, I would have thought that would have been a great pick and a fantastic pick.
Yeah.
But it's not, because Kirk Cousins is still there. I did see an interesting tweet, though, where it's like Kirk Cousins acting all shocked as though they've drafted his replacement, when Kirk Cousins was drafted in the same draft as RG3.
Yes. And RG3, like, what?
Yeah, why are you taking this guy?
And it's not just the pick overall. I know number 8 is far higher than many people have projected Michael Penix going. I would have been shocked if Michael Penix went at number 6 to the Giants, but it would have made just a little bit more sense. And that's with the knowledge that Daniel Jones wouldn't be going anywhere. Cutting him right now would leave $64 million in dead cap for the New York Giants. But Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than Daniel Jones. The Giants didn't just pay Daniel Jones this past offseason. And there's the knowledge that they're clearly moving on from him, or are looking at least for some answers moving forward. He's younger than Kirk Cousins. It still would have made more sense to me. I think that Kirk has always gotten this rap as being like just sort of fine. This guy was playing like an MVP before he got hurt last year. He has had some really solid seasons with Minnesota. He's not this like top 3, 4, 5 franchise type player, but he is a good starter, is the best starter Atlanta has had since Ryan. And I thought that they found their answer for the next couple years.
He's a good boy. That's what it sounds like. He does his best.
Well, no,
win
I'm
some playoff
saying,
games, man. I get it. But there's a lot of quarterbacks. Dak needs to win some.
Yeah.
Allen needs to get over the hump. Purdy's been to the you know, the big game. I get it. It's I'm with you. I thought they found their guy. So obviously there's some hezzy going on over there.
Next hype train. Sticking with the quarterbacks, you had 6 quarterbacks taken in the first round. Caleb Williams, the first among them. Of these quarterbacks, Caleb will have the most successful year one. You can measure that how you want.
Yeah. Year one. Individually, he might, because of the weapons that he has over there. As a team, I don't see that happening. If I had to pick which quarterback is going to have the most successful first year out of the ones who were drafted, I got to go with, goodness gracious, tough.
Are you going to say JJ?
No, because I don't think he's going to play that first year.
Okay.
I think he's going to sit. I'm going to go Bo Nix. Bo Nix is going to play.
You think
he's going to play? He's got a defense over there. He's got a defense over there. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
He doesn't throw the defense. If he's throwing the defense, he's getting benched.
You think Bo Cephas?
It ain't Caleb. It ain't Caleb, man.
Bo Cephas
next.
It ain't Caleb. It ain't Jaden.
It is Caleb.
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yes.
No.
Oh my God.
I don't think so.
Are you going
to be a contrarian right here?
Yeah.
He just doesn't want to board any trains.
I'm just a hater today. I'm off the train.
Okay.
Not looking at it.
Curtis, Caleb Williams will have the most successful year one of all the first round quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm boarding that train. I mean, look at his weapons that he's throwing to. Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet. You've got Roma Dunze now. Moore is already there. I mean, you've got everything around you to help you succeed. if he doesn't have success, I think that's a huge red flag considering the, who he's thrown to. So, yeah, I think Caleb Williams absolutely is the most successful year one of all the quarterbacks taken last
year. Yes, Caleb Williams is going to have the most successful year one of all the drafted quarterbacks. He is the best quarterback taken. I know he's going to Chicago. He's going to an organization that struggled, but so is Denver. Name the last quarterback, not named Peyton Manning or John Elway, that had a great career in Denver.
I said I was joking, all right?
No, I kind of like
but
this,
you know who is?
Makes the show spicier.
You know who is going to have a better year? Can't even draft it yet.
Can I give me one
Spencer
guess?
Rattler?
Spencer Rattler. Wherever he goes. Spencer.
That's a fun pick.
It's because he's got a cool name.
I'm just talking right now, folks.
Spencer
I'm delirious.
Rattler. The cool thing about Spencer Rattler is, yeah, Bump's been working a lot of hours, is that it sounds like rattlesnake.
It does.
Like something like Spencer Rattler. Mm-hmm. This every touchdown, I'd go like Chris Brown and stomp the arc. Yeah. You know?
I think success in the NFL is largely dependent on how cool your name sounds. I think Byron Murphy, that's a football player name. Yeah. It is. It's facts.
Okay, so you got Joe Burrow. Joe is
a cool football name.
Patrick Mahomes.
That's a cool name.
The best quarterback in the league right now, his name sounds like a leprechaun.
No.
Patrick.
Pat?
Am I wrong?
No, you're right. Patty.
He's got a cool name.
His name's Pat.
He doesn't go by Pat. He goes by Patrick.
I know, but I'm
guarantee
just saying.
You someone calls him Pat.
When you say cool quarterback name, you're thinking Colt McCoy. I think it's sometimes the opposite.
I think Brock Purdy
the
is a cool
quarterback
name.
The best quarterback names are sometimes just like middling quarterbacks. Colt McCoy.
Peyton Manning, that's a quarterback name. And a cool name.
Peyton Manning.
You're complicating this.
I'm not. No. I need more quarterback names. I need more Dakota Prescott.
He goes by Dak.
I know, but I'm saying Dakota, but that's a cool name. Like, it's a little hip. It's like hip and modern.
Baker Mayfield.
What's the worst quarterback name?
The worst? Let's go with Kenny Pickett.
See, you could make the case that's an okay
quarterback. Daniel Jones. That's the most boring name.
But Danny Dimes, cool nickname.
That's not his name.
Easton Stick.
It'll come to me.
PJ Walker.
No,
Mitch
Trubisky. Mitch, I don't know. I'm going to get it during the break and I'm going to be so upset. Let's go one final one here quickly. The Seahawks should trade up into round two.
Yeah, I guess I got to board something today before I get up out of here. Get me on. Trade up into round two. Go ahead and find yourself an offensive lineman, defensive lineman, maybe even a linebacker. You know, you need a couple things. But yeah, move up, get into the second round, and don't miss out on the fun. You want to be part of the second round.
Okay. Bump really wanted to board a train and be included today. So he did with the Seahawks should trade up into round two. Curtis, are you boarding?
No, I'm not. I don't think they should wait. I don't think they should get rid of any more of their picks remaining, as well as dip into their 2025 haul. I think they're fine staying where they are.
All right, you guys, you're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Get your questions in for What I Need to Know, 866-979-3776. Don't go anywhere.
Bump and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Ross.
Get your questions in for What I Need to Know, 866-979-3776. Text them to the Mac and Jack's text line. What I Need to Know. Do we have a 20% or better chance to trade Tyler Lockett today?
You're going to trade him on the day that he's announcing the pick?
Important that I should know.
Imagine
important
if
that
should
know.
So dirty.
Tyler Lockett is announcing your draft pick today. Important that I should note that.
Oh, no chance.
I think significantly under 20% chance.
0%.
I think Tyler Lockett is a Seahawk in week one.
Yeah, for sure.
Bragging rights, though, if we're wrong, I guess. What I need to know. Oh, we did this yesterday with Brady. Did I tell you what he said?
About.
I've been dragging Brady for 24 hours. So it's this listener's question. If there's a candy bar draft, which is your first round pick and why is it 100 grand? Guess what
100
candy.
Grand.
Listen, guess what candy Brady said for his number one overall pick in the candy
bar? what did he say, like Three Musketeers or something like that?
Okay, that's not a horrible choice. He said Almond Joy.
Oh, man.
Thank you. That's exactly the restaurant.
He's in the building probably right now. Bob, Brady, if you're listening.
Yes.
I'm calling the authorities.
I'm calling the cops. Bob was in the back of the room working, not on air, and you just hear him go, what?
Almond Joy.
Almond Joy. And he said it without hesitation. Just like
Almond Joy.
Like from his heart. It was pure, you know?
That's the candy you get for Halloween. You're like, oh, come on, man.
And I'll eat it.
Almond Joy? Give this to my grandma.
Okay, what's your number one pick?
Snickers.
Okay.
Snickers.
Okay. Mine is Reese's Cups.
You know what I tell my wife? You think I'm in a Snickers right now. She loves that. Don't you, babe?
Curtis, what's your number one pick? And Matt?
I'm going a Reese's Cup.
I already chose it. It's off the board.
Okay, then I'll go Snickers.
I already chose it. It's off the board.
Reese's Cup is, I mean, that's the greatest candy of all time. We're talking candy bar. I was going to go Snickers, but if Reese's is in the game, it's Reese's
candy.
All day.
I'll say candy. Like
oh, yeah, it's Reese's
draft.
All day.
Okay.
Number three pick then?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I think I only go Reese's and Snickers.
If I'm at
not
like
even
a 7-Eleven.
I think Twix is delicious.
I think
Twix are pretty good.
Twix, I could take it or leave it.
How about the Milky Way? Oft overlooked, but very important. Interior offensive lineman of candy bars.
Milky Way is like, all right, I've already eaten all the good chocolate.
But then you have it, and you're like, how did I forget how good Milky Ways are? How did I forget this? They're good for people who don't like peanuts in their candy.
Yeah.
Matt, what's your choice? Curtis, did you settle on one?
He was going to say
I'll trade out of this round.
Matt, what's your answer?
If I can't do Reese's and I can't do Snickers, I actually agree with the texture.
Hold on.
100 grand bar.
It's Reese's. How do y'all say? Y'all say Reese's?
I say Reese's. I say Reese's, but I've been told a million times, it's not Reese's, it's Reese's.
I bet you're one of those people that, Reese's Pieces, when neither of those words are pronounced that way.
I have always said my entire life, Reese's.
It's Reese's.
Really?
That's hard to say for me in my mouth. Reese's.
It's a common name with a...
Oh, no, this over here, it's my favorite candy. It's a Reese's cup. It sounds like I'm saying racist, to be frank.
No,
be careful.
No,
be careful.
I'm just saying it's a hard word to say. I'm not here for it. I don't support it. I can't co-sign it or endorse it. It's
your
Reese's.
Child.
Reese's. What I need to know. If you could... Do you guys know a lot? Do you guys remember commercials? Do you have good recall for commercials you like?
Yeah.
If you could choose a reality to live in based on a TV commercial, what TV commercial would you live in? It's hard.
Any type of Nike commercial where they're hooping or something, you know?
Yeah.
Hoop was life growing up.
The Orbit commercials look very colorful.
The one I would not want to live in is, remember that Sears infomercial for their air conditioners where it's like, you'll call today. I'll call now.
Oh, yeah.
That one that always played. I would hate to live in that universe because you don't have air conditioning. It's just hot.
That is it right there. That is it.
206 says Charleston Chu. I see Wyman is listening. Bump, I don't get this question. Have you ever played with an all-business player that you had a problem with?
Like someone who just didn't have fun
clocked
playing
in,
the
clocked
game.
Out?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, I guess.
I'm sure I have. Yeah, but I'm not putting it out there though. But yes, I have.
Do Adonai Mitchell and Keon Coleman come off the board with the first two picks of the second round to New England and Buffalo?
Sure.
Oh, some more candy suggestions. Butterfinger, Rolos.
Rolos are bomb.
Babe Ruth, no, it's a no for me. Salted caramel Twix are really good. The thing about Butterfinger, it's delicious, but it gets stuck in your teeth, and pretty soon you're chewing the candy with pieces of the candy,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's see what I need to know. Someone said cereal draft, first pick, Stacy is on the clock. Yes. Peanut Butter Crunch. Mm. Captain Crunch, Peanut Butter Crunch.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Curtis.
It's only available. I've only seen the big boxes at Costco. It's the Cinnamon Oat Crunch Cheerios. They're so good. It's like adult Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
That's addressing the trenches kind of pick. Matt.
It's Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's boring, but it's Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
It's very delicious. What I need to know. If someone picks a fight with you, okay,
mm-hmm.
put yourself in this world.
Take my hat off.
David Tepper comes in, he rips your hat off your head. Someone's picking a fight with you. Do you start things off with a punch or a kick?
Always with a kick. Right
what?
To the knee. Yeah.
I think starting off.
You never see it coming.
Every time.
With a kick?
Kick to the knee. My boys used to make fun of me. We used to get in brawls in college. They'd be like, why are you always kicking? I go, you drop them first. And then you can't mess these hands up. Bow.
The hands, those are the money. I think I'm imagining me trying to kick with the shortest legs possible and just completely missing, doing a roundhouse, falling on my face. Like, I would never try to kick anyone. It just simply would not work. I would also never try to punch anyone because I've never done that.
You've never connected with someone's face.
I have never been in a fight in my
really?
Life. Ever. Why is that shocking?
Because, you know, elementary school goes down.
No, not as often for girls.
No.
I'm not saying it never does. I'm saying many of the women that I know have never been in fights.
Stacey reminds me of the kind of kid that... Guys, we need to behave.
Stop, guys.
I'm going to tell the teacher.
Mrs. Smith is getting mad at us,
okay,
guys.
That's enough. I was not a snitch, okay? I just wasn't participating in fights. So I don't know what it's like to punch someone in the face.
Not even your sister.
Why would I punch my sister in the face?
Because siblings fight.
Oh, no. One time I did with my sister. We got in a fight, and she slammed her door in my face, and I got so mad. This is the one time I did kick, that I kicked her door, but our doors were so cheap that my foot went through it.
Oh, dang.
And I was a
That's
teenager.
Not a cheap door. That's pretty standard.
So then, yeah, then we told my mom a bookshelf fell through it, and
she
knew.
She believed it?
No!
Oh.
What I need to know. You're projected to get drafted in the mid to late first round. Do you attend the draft or watch at home with family and friends?
I'm at the house with the homies and the fam.
Yeah.
Because we're getting lit. I can't. I'm not getting lit with a bunch of strangers in Detroit. I'm with the family.
That's true. What's the reason the Lakers keep losing a 20-plus point lead?
Because Denver Nuggets are nice. That's why. Best two-man game in the league.
I saw a tweet a couple of years ago. Nikola Jokic was the last pick of the NBA All-Star Draft, and LeBron was one of the team captains. And somebody was like, this is the origin story of Nikola Jokic. This is villain origin story.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm going to make LeBron's life a living hell from here on out.
What I need
straight.
To know, are cookies candy?
No.
What? No, they're cookies.
They're cookies.
I'm going to block this person from the website. All right, you guys, that will do it for us today. Actually, it won't. We're not going anywhere. Bump is. We're not kicking you out. You have to leave us, unfortunately.
I'm out of here.
But we're bringing on another analyst. Brady Henderson of ESPN is going to join us from Seahawks headquarters. Don't go anywhere. Talking round 2 and 3 of the NFL draft coming your way next.